It was such an honor to have my next guest on the show, Rodney Muterspaugh. He is a retired police chief from Middleton, Ohio, and the author of the best-selling book, The Blue View, the uncut journal of an Ohio police chief. It's an unedited and raw journal written by a police officer over a 30-year period, from his first day in the academy to his last day as chief of police in Middletown, Ohio. Home of the Hillbilly Elegy, you will feel as though you are right there with the author through the entire book, in a uniform, in a cruiser, and in his personal life. You are going to love this episode. Rodney Muterspaugh, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here. Thank you for tuning in to the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast, a top-ranked show, top-ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for supporting this show. A big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Remember this, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the fantastic work. Such an honor to be partnered with Detectachem. This amazing company is helping keep our brave men and women who protect us every day safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of their hands, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. This app-based technology is a must-have for your organization. Check out their link at cjevolution.com. See how Detectachem can help keep your troops safer. Such a huge fan of Four Sigmatic. I love their Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. If you're a coffee drinker and you love coffee, you're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. Head over to cjevolution.com. See the link to Four Sigmatic. You're going to, again, love their products. And best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. On to this great show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have my next guest on the show. He's retired police chief Roger Muterspaugh from Middleton, Ohio. He's also the author of a very, very great book out there, a very popular book, The Blue View, the Uncut Journal of an Ohio Police Chief. Rodney, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Well, I appreciate you being here, sir. I know you're probably very busy. I want to talk about, you know, obviously your book, which is just huge, taken off. Much success to you with that, sir. But, you know, I always ask Leos that come on the show, Rodney, in military, you know, people who serve, you know, why they got into what they're doing. So I'm going to ask you the same thing, Chief. Why did you get into, you know, police work?
It's funny. Growing up, I never had aspirations of it. And, you know, that's not what people expect to hear. But I wanted to be a school teacher and a basketball coach. So I did want to serve. I wanted to serve people and be a part of people and relationships. And I kind of just fell into, after college basketball kind of ended for me early, I kind of fell into hanging out with people that wanted to be policemen and firemen. I took a test and I ended up getting hired. And it's kind of crazy. But immediately I fell in love with it. And it took me some time, but I did. And I knew I'd found my calling really by accident. Yeah. Now, look, you know, being a teacher and being a police officer is a lot of the same characteristics in a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you, and thank you for your service, Rodney, 30 years. That's a long time, brother. Yeah. Now, when you, just out of curiosity, it made me think when you said that, because I know this happened to me. I don't know if it's going to, if it happened to you, I'm about to ask you the question, but did you lose kind of some friends when you decided to go the law enforcement route? Because I know I did. People are like, screw you. I'm not going to hang out with you. And I was like, all right, you're really not my friend anyway. But I've talked to officers that have, you know, gone the blue route, you know, and they have lost some relationships. And I don't know if that happened to you.
It happened to me a lot. Okay. And yeah, especially when I first started doing it, you know, I noticed little stuff like, and I even talk about that in the book, because what's funny is not being invited to parties anymore.
People don't invite Rodney.
Yeah, because, you know, whether they're, you know, smoking weed or drinking and driving, whether they're like, well, don't invite him. He's a cop now. And these are people I hung out with for years. And you do lose that. And I think that's why cops, when they're younger, tend to gravitate toward other cops, because they all go through the same thing. And you do tend to hang out with police officers more, because you do lose that aspect of some friendships from the past. Definitely.
It's unfortunate. I saw that, you know, in my life and, you know, friends I went to high school with. And yeah, like you said, I mean, you know, the people that really, really care about you and really support you, obviously are going to be there. And I have still a lot of friends that supported me, but you know, some didn't. So now, Chief, you did this for 30 years. You started, you know, patrol officer, worked your way up through the ranks. When did you retire again, Rodney?
Last year, or 2019.
Okay. So I retired in 2019, in March 2019. And, you know, I didn't do it quite as long as you, but, you know, over two decades. But I saw a lot of changes, obviously, in law enforcement. You know, what do you think, Rodney, from your lens as a retired police chief, what do you think some of the problems going forward, law enforcement's, I know we talked about some of them off the air, but I want you to talk about some of them now again with the listener and possibly some of the solutions from your point of view, sir.
Yeah, I think the number one problem, as much as we love it, and I'm a huge fan of it, is social media. It's changed the whole game. I mean, an officer can do something that's right and or do something that's wrong, and within minutes, it's blasted out to the world, and it's got 1,000 likes, and it's got shares, and it's got, you know, media attention. And those days are over when a police officer can just do something, whether they're good or bad, and it just be kind of let the investigation take its course first. That you're tried in social media right off the bat.
Yeah,
it happened here in Middletown just recently over with an officer that went through something. Somebody was looking at his Facebook page, complained to somebody, they complained to somebody. Next thing you know, the city manager and the police chief have to do a video to the public about it. And you never had that in the past, like when I came on. So cops today have it worse than I ever had as the officer, and it gets harder and harder. The other thing is simply the media. The media will take something and they'll run with it regardless. And I have a lot of friends in the media. I have friends that are on TV and you know, radio, but I'll tell you that it's a problem. As far as the biggest thing other than that is probably recruitment of officers. Yeah. It just isn't happening. Cincinnati just did a story with Channel 12 here in Cincinnati area today about it, about how they can't get applicants. And you're seeing that nationwide. It's nothing that's going to change overnight. And there's a lot of blame why, but I mean, we make it so hard on police officers in this country. And police chiefs and politicians are just as bad, but making it hard on these officers. And, I talk about that also. We're not exempt from it. We're horrible for it as a collective, profession as police chiefs and politicians. And, got to do better.
And I agree, Chief. But what do you think? And again, we were talking about this before we started, and you know, we all know what the problem is. I mean, we could say, yeah, recruitment and retention. That's a big one. Attrition rates, like you said, are through the roof. What would you offer as maybe a possible, you know, remedy for that or a solution with? And I know it's a very complicated issue, but you know, I guess I would ask you this, Chief. What would you tell a new officer? Or a person that wants to get into the law enforcement field, you know, hey, he come to you and say, hey, Rodney, you're a former police chief. You spent a lot of years in law enforcement. What advice would you give me?
I would tell him it's the most rewarding career you can ever have, but you better have thick skin and you better be able to take some criticism. But what you can do in law enforcement is amazing. It's not just about helping people. I know we all have that standard answer, but about helping yourself. I mean, you can amazing things to help people where most of the public can't do it. The other thing is the variety of things you can do. You know, most jobs you go in, that's your job. Well, if you're going to be a police officer, you can be a detective. You can be a forensic person. You can be a canine officer. You can be a bike cop. You can be a SWAT guy. You can be a supervisor. I mean, it's limited what is out there for you to do. But I tell people that it's so rewarding. But, you know, on the flip side of that, it also, as much as it gives to you, it takes from you just as much. Yeah. And I know it did over the course of time. And, you know, I think it starts with, like I said, at the top with chiefs, sheriffs, and politicians. We got to start backing our people. Yeah. You got to start, you know, even when it's skeptical, man, go out there public and say, look, we're investigating it. Give us some time. But it seems, you know, I'm seeing police chiefs around the country getting rid of the thin blue line flag and things like that. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing to these officers that really need your support more than ever? And so it's very frustrating along that line.
Yeah, they're playing a political game.
Police officers not always right. You know that. I know that. We make mistakes, and we don't want bad apples in the business. None of us do. So get them out. The ones that do the best for the community, man, support them.
And that's where I agree with you, Rodney, 100%. You know, I tell people this, and I really do believe this. Maybe I'm just naive, but I really do believe that the majority of Americans out there support our brave men and women that serve. I wish they were more vocal about it. I wish they were more vocal about it, but I do think that majority of people out there support our law enforcement. And it sickens me, like you said, when I saw, I think it was out in California, you mentioned a police chief who something to do with the thin blue line, you know, got out there and apologized for people. It's like, what are you doing, man? I mean, can you imagine, Chief? You were a chief of police, you know, doing that. I mean, the morale, we're already kicked in the nuts anyway, most of the time. And then, you know, we can't even do that anymore, which is not a bad sentence. My God, it's a thin blue line.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time, and it's just because of the climate now. It's like it's a bad thing, and that's what bothers me. The climate should not change something that was meant for something good. And the thin blue line means basically that you're going to be there for the people, the public, the community, and your fellow officers. That you're going to be that person that is there for them at all times. That's what it means.
Yeah,
it's not meant to be anything else.
Yeah, it's not inflammatory. It's not, but you know, certain people have twisted it around. Yeah, as you know, and it politicized it and made it into a political issue.
Yeah, and it's really not, but you know, that's the world we live in today.
Yeah. And I love what you said, Rodney, about, you know, it's so rewarding. Thank God there's brave men and women who still are getting into this noble profession. But I remember, and you probably heard this before, Chief, you know, it's the greatest show on earth. It's not like Groundhog Day. No day is the same, as you know. I mean, it's always something, you know, just when you thought it could not get crazier, it gets crazier.
Yeah, it's true. It'll never change. I mean, that's the beauty of this job too, is like I said, you're always going to find something different. And no matter what you do, every day is different. It really, truly is in this job. No matter what position you're in, whether you're the lowest ranking patrolman or the chief of police, every day literally is different.
Yeah. Now, what were some of the highlights, Rodney? And I know you talk a lot about this in your book, but maybe share maybe one or two highlights that you had personally that you really look back. And I know there's probably many of them. I know there were a lot of highlights in my career, but there was a couple that just really stood out to me that I said, yeah, man, that just made me feel good. Or it was something that I accomplished. What about you, sir?
There's several that I can think of. If I went with the like awards and things like that, I think being invited to the Presidential State of the Union with Congressman Davidson, I got to spend a few days there at the Capitol, and I was there with, you know, the President and the Vice President, Supreme Court. That was probably something I'll never forget, because it's just something that you really don't get to do in a lifetime. That was probably it. You know, there were some awards that were nice too, you know, but you know, there was one thing that stands out, and it's not an award, is when I was appointed the police chief. And I'm from Middletown. I lived here. My kids went to school. I'm a Middletown guy. And the day I was named as chief, I hadn't got officially promoted yet. I was walking through detectives, and one of the detectives that had worked for me for years, he stopped me and he said, "Hey," and he said, "I just want to let you know how we all feel." And I thought, "Oh man,
here it comes."
He said, "You know, I just want to let you know when you made chief, we all felt like we made chief because you're one of us." And that was better than any award, better than any certificate or anything anybody could do for me. Just simply knowing that those officers I'd worked with for years felt that way, and that was remarkable to me. And I know it's small, but it's something I've never forgotten. And I just hope I was a good chief for him. You know, and you have battles with chief, you know, you have to change a little bit as far as, you know, you can't be everybody's buddy anymore.
No.
Because there's people that you worked in a car with that now you have to discipline, and you have to do what's best for the organization. But that's probably the highlights for me, more than anything, to those two things.
Yeah. And I love what you said, Rodney, about, because I went to the ranks in my agency, and one minute, you know, some of these officers, you know, these supervisor sergeants were in charge of me. Now I'm in charge of them. Yeah. And you're hit it on the head, Chief. I mean, that is so difficult, you know, but you're exactly right. You can't make everybody happy. You have to do what's best for the organization. And some of the hardest things I had to do, you know, in my role was to discipline, you know, friends of mine, you know, that were, you know, that made a mistake or messed up. And it was very hard.
Guys you drink beer with a month ago, you know,
when
you were promoted, you know, and so, yeah, I get it.
Now, I know you talk about, Chief, you talk about, you know, how this book was therapeutic for you. You know, you wrote over the years, which I write a lot now. And I told you, I have a little book, and it was very therapeutic for me too. Now you said some highlights. Would you mind sharing like one or two, maybe one, because I know they're tough to talk about, a time in your career where you were like, man, I don't know if I could do this. This is really, really taking a toll on me.
There were several. I think the one was when I was a school resource officer for just a short time, and the chief had asked me to do that. And my partner, who was a school resource officer also, he basically was ripping money off from like we had these fundraiser events, and he was stealing, and they called me in to talk to me, and I basically found out and talked to him about it, and I had to, you know, go testify in front of a grand jury on him tomorrow, because, you know, you have to do it and you want him out. But he was also a guy that I worked hand in hand with. And probably, I'm telling you, we had some child homicides, and just seeing detectives and how they, we had one little kid that was rolled up and murdered at a hotel in town. And if you watch Hillbilly Elegy, you know, that's where that movie takes place in Middletown, where I'm at. That hotel at the end, that's the hotel. And they rolled this kid up in a carpet and beat him until he died. And it was just horrendous. And our detectives still, you know, they struggle with that. And that, when you see that kind of heinous people, and you just, you're not a cop anymore. You're a dad, mm-hmm. you're a parent. And what you want to do to these people, there's no courts that can give true justice in your opinion, because you're a human being. Those are the things that you just really never get over. I mean, I'll think about that stuff till the day I die. So those are things you just, you see and you're like, man, this was awful. And, you know, I talk about that in the book also a little bit about what it does to you mentally. So, you know, I could go all day long about those. Yeah. There's a thousand of those stories, but those are things that kind of stand out.
And we were talking about, thank you for sharing that, Chief. And I know they're tough, and I have some of the, you know, the same stories, you know, different, but, you know, along the same lines. And yeah, you're right. I mean, we were talking about this, you know, before we started again, you know, we as humans are not designed to see the trauma and to see the human suffering and to, you know, for a sustained period of time, it will affect you. And I talk about this a lot on my show. I don't care how tough you think you are, you know, what military unit you're in, not that everybody comes out of the military and gets into police work, but I've seen some very tough guys, you know, and it gets to you for the years, and it will affect you. And you have to talk about this stuff, do whatever, I mean, write about it like you did, Rodney. Any kind of therapy, because sooner or later, if you have it all bottled in, which I did for many years, and then I lost my wife, you know, we ended up getting a divorce, and that was, a lot of it was probably due to me, you know. So I, you know, what do you tell people? Because I know you probably talk to officers about this. What do you tell them about, you know, maintaining a good balance between mental balance, you know, take care of yourself physically, but going and doing the job?
You tell them, have the strongest support group you can find, your wife, your kids, your family. Make family time irreplaceable. Do not take this job home with you. And it's the best thing I can tell you. If you walked in my house when I was the chief, you would never know that I was a police chief. Not that I'm embarrassed about my profession. I loved what I did, but this was my sanctuary. And get away from it when you're off work. Sometimes it just means, you know, little things, but have a support base. Don't come home and complain and talk to your wife about the bad stuff that happened to you at work. Take that to therapy. Get a counselor. You know, that's confidential. You know, at the end of my career, I talked to a therapist, and it's confidential. Nobody even knows about it. The city covered, you know, they pay for it. And it's confidential who I talk to, but find an outlet other than your family to bring that home to. Yeah. I think that's huge. I mean, get away, make this your sanctuary. And I know I have a lot of police officer friends, and you walk into their house, and I get it, man, because I was like my first 15 or 20 years, and I had police stuff everywhere.
But live and breathe it. Yeah.
By the end, I was like, no, this is my home. And this is where I need to get away from that. And it actually helped me so much. It really did. Yeah.
Now, what do you think, Rodney, in your neck of the woods, in your area right now, do you think it is becoming, because I think it depends on where you're at in the country. Do you think if officers are having problems, do you think it's, they're feeling more comfortable these days coming forward saying, look, I'm struggling, you know, I'm depressed, whatever, you know, suicidal ideation, whatever. Do you think they're getting to a point where they're more comfortable, or do you think that still there's that stigma of it's going to be weakness? People don't want to work with me. People are going to think I'm crazy and all this other stuff.
There's a stigma still there, but I can tell you in my 5 years as the chief, as I ended my career, it was one of those things where I saw more people came to me as the chief and said, hey, I need to talk to somebody. And we would accommodate them. We would, you know, whether it meant them doing it while they were working, whether it meant taking them off work in a certain area or changing assignments, we did it. But I saw more in my last 2 years than I saw my first 3 years. Yeah. So there was definitely a change in mindset. And well, and we preached it too there, that if you need help, don't be ashamed. You don't have to tell your sergeant or your lieutenant. You come straight to the chief and you tell me, and it's confidential. And, you know, and that's kind of what we did. So I think the stigma's there, but I think it's changing. I really do.
Well, and I think it starts with the culture. And it sounds like, Chief, you had a good culture. You had that culture in your organization where you put it out there and said, look, you can come and talk to people, and we're going to get you the help that you need. I know my agency, my former agency, was really good with that too. Hey, we're not going to You know, and now you don't know what goes on behind closed doors with the officers, you know, I mean, who knows? But overall, the culture of my last agency was very supportive. And we need that. Chief, you know, people aren't knocking down the doors to become cops anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. We talked about that. But we need to take care of the people we have.
It's important. So, I mean, yeah, you have to do that to survive in this business. And or you're going to have officers that leave after a few years. It's pretty
Now let's shift, Rodney. Let's talk about your very popular book now. Again, The Blue View, The Uncut Journal of an Ohio Police Chief. For listeners out there, you got to go pick up this book. I just ordered mine. I should have got it sooner, but I'm excited to read it. What prompted you, Rodney, to write this book that now has just taken off?
It was never meant to be a book.
Yeah,
I think what people like it so much. I started journaling in the academy at the you know, one of our captains who's getting ready to retire. He made a comment. He said, "I wish I would have kept notes of everything I did throughout my career, and I didn't." And I just thought, well, okay. So I started writing stuff down, and not all the time, just for fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, it became kind of an addiction. And by the end of it, it was therapy, like I told you. And when that happened, I have some friends in the media, and it sat down here in my basement, you know, thousands of pages of unfiltered notes. And I reached out and talked to some friends in the media, and I told them about it. And one of them is actually a producer with Netflix. He did Amanda Knox, the documentary, and we met at a heroin thing. And his name's Stephen Robert Morse, and he's a pretty popular guy. We struck up a friendship, and we chatted, and he said, "Man, you ought to do this." And I let him read it, and he just flipped out, and he goes, "This is amazing." And he said, "This would really help people, and this is big." And I kind of blew it off. I was like, "Nah, you know, we just, does this really interest anybody?" Surrounded by somebody else who I really trust. And next thing you know, man, we're having a publisher and moving forward, and now it's a book.
It's amazing. And we were talking again, Rodney, about, I don't see a lot of, you know, I see a lot of Leos and, you know, people from at different levels. I don't see a lot of senior executives like such as yourself, police chiefs, writing books. So it really is cool. And the one thing I really like about this book, from what I've gathered with reviews, is that it's a very candid book. You don't hold anything back. There's humor in there. There's sad stuff. You know, there's inspirational things, but it's a very candid book.
It's probably, you know, I had one guy tell me, he's a radio guy out of Los Angeles. And he just told me, he said, it's unlike anything he's ever read. And which I was like, wow. And because one minute you'll be laughing your ass off, basically, and the next minute you'll be pissed off at the police. And then, you know, but then but I've had more people tell me, it's funny, I've had activists reach out that I didn't get along with as the chief. And they're like, you know, I still don't like the police, but now I respect what you guys do, because you see, there's a method behind the madness. When you read this, we might do dumb things or inappropriate things sometimes, but there's a reason behind it. And I don't hesitate on calling ourselves out on this, because you have to do that if you want to legitimize what we're doing and humanize it. So yeah, it took off, and you know, some really incredible people in the media read it and reviewed it and recommended it. You know, Clarence Page of the Chicago Tribune, you know, he's a Pulitzer Prize, and this guy's a liberal. He's a Democrat. I like the guy. We've talked on Zoom several times, but he loved it. And which blew my mind. I'm like, wow, Clarence Page. And then J.D. Vance from Hillbilly Elegy, you know, he's from here, and he read it, and he would text me, and he would laugh and say, oh my gosh, this is great. And so, you know, he did a nice review on it too. So I think that's when it really took off.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because like we were talking about, a lot of you said you were, you know, when you were writing this, or actually it came out, you know, some of the police chiefs, you're probably friends of yours at those levels, are like, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, what are you writing this? Like, we have some secret code or something, or secret.
Yeah, they were funny about it. They laughed, and all of them bought it, which is funny, because they're like, okay, send me that link so I can read your stupid book. And once they read it, they respond. They're like, oh my god, I love this. And a lot of guys, the cops I worked with back in the 90s on the street on patrol, or whether I was in narcotics, they were funny, because they're like, man, it's like we all wrote this book. And I said, it is, because there's stories about them in there too. And but the chiefs and the executives, they're funny about it. I just went down to the Butler County Sheriff's Office and gave them all books down there, the sheriff and some guys. But most people have been really receptive about it. The only people that's pissed about the book are people I had to fire, or, you know, some of the people that I beat out for chief or for promotions at the end. You know, they didn't like it that I beat. Always going to have that when you release something so personal, and it is what it is, you know.
Well, and like I said, Rodney, what I admire about you and in your book is, you know, it takes a lot of courage to, especially in this line of work, to put yourself out there, you know, to put a product out there or a book or whatever, because you know you're going to get criticized. You know, people are, or you should know, because that is life. People aren't always going to be like, oh, it's the greatest thing. People are going to be criticizing you. I know when I started this show, people are like, ah, it sucks. The same people are like, can I come on?
It's taken off. And I think, you know, like I mentioned, having people send me pictures of them reading it in California by their pool or out in Las Vegas on the strip holding up a book. I mean, that's just really cool to me. And then, you know, it's been read in 5 countries already in the first 8 weeks. Yeah. And that it just blows my mind that people find it that interesting. So really happy about it.
Well, because I think most people, Roddy, you know this, most people get what they know about police work from movies and television shows. That's not accurate. That is not an accurate but it's Hollywood, and I get that, but it's not an accurate reflection of, you know, what police do every day.
No, not at all. No. And this book is, it's real. So it's,
yeah. So what advice, you know, I always think, Chief, there's a book in every cop out there, at least in my opinion. I mean, they see so much stuff throughout their years. Again, some bad, some good, some humorous. What advice would you give somebody, sir, who's thinking, you know, I want to write a book too, because it's very hard work. It's not easy. But what advice would you give some budding entrepreneur, you know, novelist out there who wants to write a book?
Just write what you feel. Mm-hmm. Don't fake it. Don't write what's on your mind. Don't hesitate. When you write, don't be ashamed of what you write, whether it's good, bad, or emotional, whatever. And that's what I did with this book. That's all this is how I felt at the time I experienced or saw something. That's what I did. And don't try to, you know, church it up. Don't try to glamorize it. Just write what's real. And you'll be amazed at what comes out of off that pen if you do that.
Well, people like authenticity. You know, they don't like fake shit. I mean, they like authenticity. Yeah, and I imagine, Rodney, that you had people around you. I'm a big believer in you are who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. So I imagine you had people that were telling you, go for it. You know, you got to do this.
I did. I have a lot of friends, and the ones I told, because only a few people even knew I kept this. And what's funny, my wife, we've been married 30 years. We got married about the year I started at the PD. She had not read this until the final rough draft. And I read it, because I was like, you don't want to read. I said, before we do anything, I'll let you read it before it goes public. And she was like, okay, so fine, I'll let her read it. And every she'd be reading the rough draft, and she'd look over at me and just shake her head.
She had no idea.
Tell me about this. I'm like, I didn't bring work home. And but we had fun with it. And to this day, she laughs. I had a book signing here in Middletown, and it was awesome. We had a couple hundred people show up, and and she was there just laughing at the whole thing. She's like, this is crazy. And I was like, it is.
I know there's a really go ahead, sir.
No, she's just been really supportive. My family has. So
yeah. I know there's I saw you in an interview, and there you started laughing. You were talking about, you know, some undercover operation in a massage parlor, and you started cracking up. You couldn't, it's too funny to
fall back in your head, and you just start laughing.
It is, you know, some of the, and that's what's so special about this profession, Roddy, you know, that is, yeah, a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow, but best time of my life, you know, was when I was a street cop and, you know, running and gunning with the guys and girls on the street. And this is one of the best stories that I'll never forget. I mean, those are the things that bring people together. And so, sir, I appreciate you coming on this show. Any final thoughts? Final thoughts first, and then I want you to tell people how they can find your book and your website and all that stuff. Any final thoughts for the listener?
Man, if you don't like the police or you love the police, you're going to find something, a compromise, if you read this book. I'm not just trying to get you to read the book. I want you to understand that these guys are human. These guys and girls are human beings, and they struggle with things. And, you know, the tagline of the book is something I've said for 20 years is the hardest part about being a police officer is you have to solve everybody else's problems when you can't solve your own. Yeah. And that's something that I don't think people understand. You know, you don't leave your personal problems when you go to work. No amount of training can make you do that. People always say training. No, that's not it. But I just want people to understand that, you know, cops are humans, and take a look at the book, whether you hate us or love us, read it and see what you think.
Now, where can they find the book, Rodney?
Amazon.com. If you just type in the Blue View book, it's on there. There's also the website is theblueviewbook.com. It's a 5-star on Amazon, so we're excited about it. But we're also the audio book, which I did narrate, which was really interesting to do. Let me tell you, it's on Audible and iTunes. They have it. And it's doing real well on those also. So it's easy to find if you just go to those website or go to Amazon and you type the Blue View book.
Rodney Muterspaugh, thank you so much, sir, for your dedicated law enforcement service for 30 years and also for putting out this amazing book that you're sharing with the world, sir. Everything we talked about is going to be linked up in the show notes. Much success to you, sir. I'd love to have you back on down the road. And if you need anything, you know where to find me, sir.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
All right, brother. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.